Halleluja. Halleluja. Wow. Well, you can open up to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, there's not a person here this morning that hasn't had to face some kind of difficulty, challenge, or adversity where the choices were few and the solutions were difficult. And maybe you're in one of those right now. See, sometimes the adversities can be handled with some hard work and some with a little bit more creativity. Then sometimes neither of these work. That's when we need God. And it's only God that can take care of it. So this morning as we read here in John chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 39. Because I want to get down to, we talk about the man, the noble man whose son was dying. But I'm going to start with verse 39 here. And it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now remember, this is the woman at the well, who when Jesus wanted a drink, he asked her, and they got into that whole thing about, you know, I can provide you water that you'll never thirst again. And he did. He did know. And when he says, go get your husband so we could explain this. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, yeah, I know you don't. He says, but you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now is not yours. He is all-knowing, folks. He knows every detail about each and every one of us. Don't think that he does not. Always keep that in mind. But it says that they said, indeed, he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. The title, Savior of the world, is only used here and in 1 John 4:14. Now, we're going to be staying here, but I'm going to read you that, 1 John 4:14 in the New Living Translation. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes, and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Same author, Apostle John. The Jews of Jesus' day taught that to approach God, one first had to be a Jew. By including this incident here, John was demonstrating to everyone that Jesus was for all the people. He was for all the people. Now, John chapter 20, 29. John chapter 20, 29. Amplified Classic Edition. Jesus said this, blessed and happy and to be envied are those who have never seen me and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me. And Jesus said this to Thomas, we know. We have never seen Jesus. And we believe. And what? And we adhere to. And we trust in. And we rely on him. Jesus said, we are blessed. We are blessed and happy and envied by others. People will want what you have. They want to be blessed and happy. To be divinely favored of God. They want what you have. We have to share that. Now, verse 43, we're going to pick up there. This is with the nobleman of the dying son who goes to Jesus because there's no amount of money that he has that is going to be able to take care of this problem. There's no amount of hard work. There's no creativity on his part. Nothing is going to be able to handle his situation. He has to go to Jesus, Jehovah Rapha. He has to go to where he knows that he knows. And you're going to say, this man wasn't saved. But you know what? He had faith. He had heard. So he had faith. How much faith does it take? That's it. A mustard seed. He had enough faith at that point in time. Was he a believer? No, not at that point. But he still had faith. Each one of us had faith the day we stepped up to accept Jesus as Lord. John 43. We're going to read down through the whole event down to 54. Now, after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So, when he came to Galilee, the Galatians received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Wow. A lot there. But see, in verse 46, we see where this nobleman is in that situation where no amount of money, hard work, or creativity is going to take care of his situation. He needed God. See, so we're taught lessons here of faith that I want to bring up. The first is, go to God with our problems. That's what we are to do. Go to God with our problems. Now, we shouldn't go to God for just our problems, though. No. See, so many people only go to God as their problem solver. They pray, God, if you would just get me out of this problem. God, if you would just heal this person. God, if you would just give me that job. God, if you would just take care of this, that, and the other things. You know, the good news is God answers prayers. God does answer prayers. Because in James 5:16, it says this, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The Amplified says, our prayers are dynamic and it's working. Our prayers are dynamic and it's working. Just recently, we saw that happen. When that football player went down on that field, that was played on nationwide television. All that people are talking about was that it came to a stop. People got on their knees and people prayed. People prayed. And they prayed. And God heard. And God moved. He's out of the hospital already. Out of the hospital. The prayers of righteous people that day were praying. And even those who didn't know were praying to God. And he was hearing that outcry. So our prayers, he's trying to tell you, I do hear these prayers. And he did that to wake up the nation. And to wake up the world. How many nations were watching that night? I don't know. But I mean, you could probably find that out. And they're still talking about it. It's the power of prayer that was released. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say something else, though, besides that. See, if we think of, you know, if God, if who God is, means less to you than what he can do for you, then you know what? You've missed his message entirely. John 4:43-44 says, now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now, what's he referring to there? Because that's not Jesus saying that. That was the writer, John, because if you look to Matthew 13:57, it says, this is Jesus speaking himself then. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Verse 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. After he had been in Samaria, and they received him for 2 days, it says. Now, I want to point that out. See, that's something that's very, very important. Because remember, Jews, pure Jews, hated the Samaritans. Because, see, they were a mixed breed. That was when they were captured and the northern ones went to Assyria, how they intermixed them. There was a purpose for that. Okay. An evil purpose. But they were impure in the opinion of the Jews. The Jews avoided even going through Samaria. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. He's going in and he's going through. Now, they not only received him here, But they believed he was the Christ. He was the Savior of the world. Verse 42 there, it said, "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, on the name of Jesus. That's John 3:16 through 18 there. But they became believers. They became believers. Verse 45 of the new, of the, this one's what? Okay, the Living Bible. I want to make sure I got this one. The Living Bible. It says, "But the Galatians welcomed him with open arms, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, and he and had seen some of his miracles." They had seen some of his miracles. Now I know a lot of you read the first miracle, and then they said this was the second miracle on the boy. But see, if you go back and you look here in John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs." That is miracles. That is miracles. King James says miracles. They changed it to signs, you know, signs, wonders. But it's miracles, which he did. So he did miracles. And they remembered it. Now, believe it or not, from that point to this point is 9 months. Yeah. It's amazing. We look at it, we think of this as day by day by day. And there's a lot of time that elapsed. So there was a lot of other things. So can you imagine if they wrote everything that Jesus did? Can you imagine in books? I mean, there isn't enough to contain it, is what John actually said, the miracles that he did. In 3 years. That's in 3 years. Hallelujah. Now the people in Galilee, see, they weren't interested in his word. They were interested in the miracles. Yeah. They cared more about the miracles than about his mission. In other words, what they were saying, "Jesus, stop the preaching and get to the miracles and all these healings. We aren't interested in who you are. We are interested in what you have to show us. We want to see the things that you can do." Yeah. How about you? Verse 46. In the course of his journey through Galilee, he arrived at the town of Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. Notice we are back in Cana, where the wedding took place. So we have come full circle here. If you look at the maps, it's cool too, when you're reading these. The purpose of the first miracle of Cana was so that the disciples might believe. This miracle signified Jesus' deity. When Jesus transformed the water into wine, he was demonstrating his power. His power. He didn't even have to say a word. Just fill the pots with water. Did he say turn it into wine? It's not documented. And they got very detailed on that part. And all of a sudden they tasted it. And it was the best wine ever. He then goes to Jerusalem after he turned that water into wine. And he cleansed the temple. Cleansed the temple. Yeah. He went down there and pulled and got a bunch of ropes and made himself a whip. Yeah, compassionate, honoring, loving Jesus. Went down there with a whip. And he drove out them lambs and he drove out the oxen and the men who were trying to sell them. They probably used the whip to get their attention, to get the animals moving. And the guy said, if they're going to whip them, I'm going to get out of his way. And then what did he do? He turned around, took the money changers, took their money and just scattered it everywhere. And then he threw their tables all around. Mm-hmm. He knows how to clean a house, doesn't he? But also he did miracles there. And people believed. But it wasn't to a saving faith. The people of Jerusalem were curious about miracles, but they were fickle in their faith, which shows us that miracles don't necessarily lead to a saving faith. I've seen it. I've seen people get healed because everybody's praying for them. And they still never gave glory to God. And they never confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yet they got healed. They got healed. But if they didn't get saved, they dead anyhow. Yeah. Point blank, they dead. Think about that. Testify. Give him the glory, the honor, and the credit. Hallelujah. The Samaritans believed without seeing one single miracle. They believed in his word. You're saying, well, that was when he spoke it. Well, it's right here. Right. We have his word. Right. People back then did not have his word. They didn't have all the details. We do. And if you're like mine, you got the red letter edition. I got the highlighter red is what Jesus actually said. But he would never say anything other than what the Father gave him to say. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. This nobleman was a royal official of the king, an official of Herod Antipas. He was the governor who ruled Galilee, but was referred to as a king. They took certain provinces and they break them up into four, and you had four governors. And see, that's a whole nother study in itself. He had heard about Jesus. Where did he hear about Jesus? In the palace, especially from the wives of the other officials there that worked in the palace. Because in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, Luke chapter 8, verse 3, Joanna, Cusa's wife, now Cusa was King Herod's business manager and was in charge of his palace and his domestic affairs. Susanna and many others who were also contributing from their private means to support Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus was nearby, they went out to hear him speak, and they gave him financial support for his ministry. See, so the news of Jesus reached the royal palace through these women. You know what's interesting? Joanna, Tim, is her name in Hebrew is Y-O-H-A-N-N-A-H, Yohanna, okay? And it means God is gracious.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So this nobleman hears about Jesus, what he preached, and he hears about the miracles he did. So what? He heard. He heard. When we heard about Jesus, right away it didn't click. But the more he kept hearing from all the talk, when he heard, he went, oh, this is that Jesus. That little bit of faith started kicking in. And he traveled 25 miles to see Jesus. And he addressed him as Sir. He addressed him as Sir. He put himself under the authority of Jesus. Even though he had the legal authority over Jesus, he humbled himself. He humbled himself before Jesus. See, it pays to be humble. Yeah. Because what we are told, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, you see, it pays to be humble. Now, scholars at this time, they had estimated at this time in history that 50% of the children who got ill early on did not make it to age 5. So we can see here that this was a very desperate situation. Jesus was at Cana, so this royal official came from Capernaum, which, as I said, was 25 miles away. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. See, if you're a parent and you've had a very sick child at some time or another, or even if you've had the trauma of having one of your children at the point of death, and I know some of you have, you know exactly how this man is feeling. All the money in the world, your business, your house, you trade it all for your child's health and healing. All the power and prestige, the influence, they all dwindle in significance when compared to your child's life. He sees Jesus and he begs him. And he just didn't ask once. He repeatedly asked him. See, he was desperate. Verse 48, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Surely we're talking about believing here. And we're getting to the other point too. He was right on, sister. Jesus is not talking only to the man here, though. See, there's a crowd of people all around him. See, the you here is plural. It isn't just directed at the man. It's directed at all those thrill seekers. Jesus wants to do more in our lives than answer our current request. Meeting our need is important. I want to get that right. His word tells us, God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God wants more. He wants all of us to get to know him intimately. Developing an intimate relationship with God will help us overcome the world we live in. That's why you got to draw closer to Christ every day. In this world that we're living in right now, you need to draw closer to him. Because the closer you get to him, the more you'll get the peace you need to be able to see what's going on, that it won't affect you because you're not part of the world as you would think so. See, get away from that. Get into the supernatural realm. Expect what God has for you. Inflation? I don't care how much them eggs are going to cost you. We're still buying eggs, and they're not hurting us. We can still afford to buy eggs because God supplies all of our needs. He supplies the finances into our house. If you're a tither, he rebukes the devourer for your sake. God can make sure that you have the finances necessary to buy the food, to buy the things you need to buy. You need to buy a new car? God will make a way for it. You honor God first, he'll make a way for it. Hallelujah. You have something you have a need for. He will. And if you're like Shirley, she prays over all her appliances, her and Vicky. They lay hands and pray over all their appliances and everything. And they just keep lasting and lasting and lasting. It works. It works. She speaks to her car every time she gets in it. I'm just telling you, prayer works. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. Go to God with your problems, but go to God for more than just your problems. We need to learn to believe God's word. Surely, not our worries. We need to put the word first. We need to work the word. The word works. The word does work. Put it first. The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He's getting very desperate at this point. There's an exclamation point in it here. See, he was expecting Jesus, though, to come to his house and to lay hands on his son. See, he had preconceived in his mind how Jesus should do it. Have you ever been there? Huh? Jesus, this is what I need. This is how I need you to do it. I need you to stop this. I need you to start that. I need you to go there for me. And I want you to have them do this for me. That's not the way God works. Because he even tells you. He'll tell you in Isaiah 55:8. He says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." Nothing, says the Lord. "My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask." He is well able. See, we have it all planned out in our mind how God should work. But we saw that at Jericho, the plan to take it down was not what Joshua thought. No, he was figuring out how to make ramps and everything else to get in and take the city down, how he was going to tear it down. God said, no. We're going to march around it. And we're just going to pray silently. And we're not let anybody say a word. And they marched and they marched. And then on the final day, what'd they do? Blow the trumpets and they shouted. And the walls came down. Every brick came down. Except for one lady's house, right?
That's right.
Can you imagine that? It's intact.
Yeah.
And they went and said, "Hey, come on out. You're safe with us." Praise God. But that wasn't his plan. But see, God has other plans. Jesus said to that nobleman, "Go your way. Your son lives." Now, Jesus doesn't have to walk 20 miles to Capernaum. Jesus isn't going to work the man's situation the way the man had visualized it. No, Jesus simply said, "Go your way, your son lives." See, at that point, that official was faced with a huge decision. Jesus had given him his word. What did he give him?
His word.
His word. So now the question for him and for us, will we simply believe Jesus or not? Jesus said, "I will meet your need." Can we simply believe him? But Lord, I need a sign. No, you don't. Simply believe. Simply believe. And she will be singing, and you're going to say, oh my, I'm sorry that I was doubtful of you through them early on. Lord, I've been continuing, I keep waffling, but I'm not going to waffle anymore. She's going to sing.
Amen.
You watch and see.
Amen.
I'm just telling you.
Yep.
That's coming from the Spirit, brother.
Amen.
Man, I love it when I can feel that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that I am able to be used by you, and I will not hold back what you have to say to anyone in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to Jairus, this young synagogue ruler, right? You remember that when his daughter?
Yes.
They said, but she was dead? Mm-hmm. And what did Jesus say at that point in time? She was already dead. This man's son was not dead. But she was. And the ruler knew it. Because that's what they told him. But what did Jesus say to him? He says, simply believe. Do not be afraid. Simply believe. Simply believe. And like what the Amplified says onto that, okay, it said this. It says that I am not able to do what you have asked me to do. I will do what you've asked me to do, and she shall live. And now he had a choice right then and there. And he chose wisely. He shut his mouth. He shut his mouth. The biggest issue we face is not whether or not God is able or if he is willing. Because he is. The biggest issue we face is whether or not we will believe. Many times, there are people, many of them, who miss out on God's miracles because they won't believe. They say they are. But they aren't. They won't take God at his word. They have more faith in their worries than they do in God's word. But if we are going to receive from God, we have to believe God's word and not our worries. Give the worries to him. 1 Peter 5:7. Amplified Classic. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. When you worry, you start down that road, and it says, Doubt Avenue. And you went from worry down to dirt to Doubt Avenue. So what do we need to do? We need to feed our faith, and we got to starve our doubts. Now I'm quoting a man of God right there, and I'm gonna let you know. That was by Kenneth E. Hagin. Okay? And it pertains to us today. Feed our faith and starve our doubts. Amen. And how do we feed our faith? By the word, a word of God. What's in Romans 10:17 say? It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word.
Yeah.
Whose word? God's word.
Yeah.
Doubt will rob us of God's best for us. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It will. Because see, when you're going down Doubt Avenue, there's so many things banging and banging you around that you can't concentrate on God. That's what it's like on that Doubt Avenue. Boom, boom, boom. You know? It's like you can't steer the car, you know, one of them cars, it just keeps going back and forth. Because it wants to keep you on Doubt Avenue. But see, there are little places on the side that you can say, wait a minute, I'm going to do it. A U-turn. See, you have the ability to turn it around. You have the ability to make the U-turn and get back up there, go across Worry Boulevard and get back into the mainstream on the internet of faith with God. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed. He himself believed. He didn't go back. It was the next day when he got the information. The next day. He got it in the afternoon when Jesus spoke it. And by that time, you don't want to start moving into the afternoon because it's not good to travel at night in those countries. It was not. It was dangerous. Because there were thieves and robbers out there constantly. And I don't know who all went with him. But even at that, you don't travel at night. That was one thing they did not do in those times. So he was actually having to wait. And he waited in faith, knowing what God had said. "My son shall live." And so he's on his way back. They're going to burn him. And they're on their way back to him. "Your son lives." And he gets the news, says, "When?" And he knew exactly when it happened. And that's why when he walked in the door, he told all his kinfolk, all his household, and all believed on the name of Jesus Christ, and his whole household got saved that very same day. Hallelujah. He took Jesus at his word, and he went his way. This man not only believed Jesus could heal, he believed Jesus' words spoken to him, and he obeyed Jesus by returning home, demonstrating his faith. So sure was this man, he didn't even hurry. Jesus said it, and he believed it. I'm asking you, if Jesus said it to you, are you going to believe it? Are you going to believe his word? Are you going to put his word first? Are you going to work his word? It's all up to you. He has provided it. He has taught us. He's taught us well. We have the information. We have all the miracles right here in front of us. And we have miracles in front of us each and every day. We have miracles in front of us each and every day. We just don't look at them. And a lot of people don't get up and testify to them. We need to hear more testimony or more people testify. That there's a miracle sitting right behind Mario. That guy sitting next to Tony, that she wasn't giving up on, she was praying for. We weren't praying for. This is over a year now. What was that? On January 8th, you came home? Somewhere right around there? Yeah, you came home. Mm-hmm. There's miracles in here. There's a miracle waiting for you. What you're believing God for. But see, it's up to you. We pray for people on our prayer list. And we pray believing. We pray believing. But we can't walk in your shoes. We need you to get the vision. Surely he keeps saying it along. You need to get the vision of your healing. You need to see yourself as healed. You look in the mirror sometimes, you see something, you say, "You're healed. I'm speaking to you that's in that mirror. That's your reflection." You can speak to yourself. You call yourself healed. And you do not doubt it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.